One thing we know for sure now, you cannot trust Jared Dudley.
That's true.
Jared Dudley tweets that LeBron's going to the Knicks.
Got you really excited.
Oh, it got a lot of people excited. And you can't trust him.
No.
You can't trust anything on Twitter either.
No.
Because last night, as we record this on Friday, July 9th, last night, LeBron Day, one of the ESPN writers, Rick Bueger, was tweeting that he's not going to Miami. This is like an hour before he's about to announce that he is going to Miami.
He did want you to watch the ESPN special, so I think that helped a little bit with a little motivation there.
He did. Well, anyway, a lot of us watched it. Greg and I certainly watched it. Adam Azer here with Greg Urbano for CBSSports.com and our basketball podcast. I didn't mean to take a shot at ESPN, but the point is this whole week, and when we previewed free agency, we said this was going to happen. We heard so many rumors from so many different sources. You got Yahoo, you got ESPN, you got CBSSports.com, SI to an extent, local newspapers, everybody giving all these different destinations for a lot of different players, and in the end, LeBron kept it pretty close to the vest.
It depends. 2 weeks ago, Stephen A. Smith, basically right at the beginning of this entire thing, said all three are going to South Beach. People just kind of dismissed that comment because not only did it come from Stephen A. Smith, but it was such a grandiose statement for him to say the three top guys are all going to go to one place. Obviously, though, he was right. I don't know if he had a source, if he had an inkling, or if he knew something back in 2008 that there was an agreement between these three guys. Stephen A. Smith knew this, though, so we do have to give one person credit.
But Stephen A. Smith, unless he was joking, on Twitter last night, Thursday night, said there's different things going on. Could be a last-minute change of opinion.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah. So in what I see is that a lot of people like to report things, and they like to keep it vague enough to give themselves an out and say, well, I said it was only a possibility.
Absolutely.
Whatever. Bottom line is, if you're a reporter and you don't want us to take you seriously on Twitter, then stop quoting athletes on Twitter.
That would help.
Yeah, because if you put it out there, then you put it out there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about free agency. Here's what we're going to do. We could probably spend an hour or two talking about LeBron. I think I've talked about him for 5 hours today already off the air. But we're going to look at every team that made a significant move and see what they did. And that goes from the Miami Heat to the Phoenix Suns, the Milwaukee Bucks, the New York Knicks. Really, we're going to look around the NBA now at free agency and not necessarily give our winners or losers, but just discuss what's happened and what still could happen. There are
still
good
names out
there.
Still too early to rate anyone a winner or loser. I mean, obviously the Heat, they've got a victory right now. But for the most part, the grades are still out there with the other teams.
Start with the Heat and LeBron James. 5-year contract. Now, right now, all I saw was what the Sun Sentinel was reporting. It's about 2 o'clock right now, p.m. Eastern. So by the time you hear this, you might know more details than what I'm giving out. But it looks like LeBron's getting a 5-year deal with the right to opt out after 4 years. Wade is getting a 6-year deal with an opt out after 5 years. And Chris Bosh will get a sign and trade from Toronto, a 6-year contract. Toronto's going to get draft picks and a huge trade exception, according to the Sun Sentinel, worth about $15 million. So they could become players in the trade market now. So that does help Toronto, and it gets Chris Bosh an extra year, if that's true. And the Sun Sentinel's been pretty good throughout this entire process. The Miami Heat, they also traded Michael Beasley to the Timberwolves for Minnesota's 2011 second-round pick and the right to swap future first-round picks with Minnesota. That could be a very good pick.
Yeah.
Although that could be going to Toronto now in the sign and trade.
That's
Who
true.
Knows? So we'll wait to see how that all plays out. And also, the Miami Heat appear to be getting Mike Miller for 5 years and $30 million. I'm not sure how all this is happening.
How that fits in.
Can't wait to see what Dwayne, LeBron, and Bosh are going to get, how close to $16.6 million it's going to be. But you know what? Just go ahead and give your thoughts on LeBron going to the Heat. I'm shocked.
Shocked? Yes, I also am shocked. Even though the days leading up to this, it seemed very imminent that he was coming to Miami.
I wasn't shocked when he said it. I'm just shocked that it happened.
Exactly. I mean, it's very rare that an opportunity like this comes up for a great player where he has the ability to choose where he wants to go. You know, it's very rare in sports. And to see three guys who are at the top of their game and in their primes to all at the same exact time have that opportunity and decide that money's not the most important thing, being the guy is not the most important thing, and personal accolades are not the most important thing. It's about winning. So that part of the decision surprised me the most because it's so rare that we see athletes do that these days.
Now, columnists, fans, obviously Cleveland fans, but I think the overwhelming majority of opinions have been very negative toward LeBron James. You and I are not on board with that.
No.
Look, is he egotistical?
He always has been. We've known that.
I know.
All athletes are.
He's a superstar athlete. Give me a superstar athlete that doesn't have an ego. I mean, come on. It's very, very rare. If you want him to be this role model that you're never going to be disappointed in, then just stop watching.
Yeah, is he egotistical?
Yeah. Did he have to go on ESPN and give an hour-long special? No. And ESPN didn't have to agree to that either. But as Greg Doyle wrote in a column, CBS would have done it too.
Of course we would have.
So, you know, and it's the fans' fault as much as anyone. I mean, I was going crazy.
The demand is there to see the TV show.
So you can't get too mad at LeBron for that. The fact that he donated to charity, he donated the proceeds to charity, okay, he could have cut a check. He only did that to save face, in my opinion. But look, he's got an ego, yes. He is taking a hit in terms of his legacy by going to the Heat, in my opinion, because he could not possibly be known as a guy who led his team to championships the same way that Kobe or Michael Jordan did. If he surrounds himself with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, yeah. I feel like he's got less of an opportunity to go down as the greatest player in NBA history now.
That is true.
Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that, but he can still do it. I mean, if he plays for the Heat and it's so much better still than every other player in the league, even if he doesn't average 30 points, if he averages around 20 but averages a triple-double, guess what? He's still the greatest player in the world, even if he's playing with two other great players and they get a ring. So he can still do it based on his play, but I will agree with you in that the way people view you when you personally carry a team to a title is different. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, though, that Kobe ever did that. I don't think Kobe ever...
I think it's the team on his back, and was the only guy that did things. No, it's one thing to do it with one star, but to do it with two, it's almost like that's less of an accomplishment. But what I'm complimenting LeBron in this because I think it was an unselfish move for him to go to Miami with Wade and Bosh. I don't understand where all the criticism's coming for. I think it has a lot to do with the way he went about the process and the fact that he made it a spectacle about him. And you had the documentary crews following Wade and Bosh, and I think people were a little turned off by all the ego there. But you got to give them credit for saying, hey, I want to play with my friends, and I want to win.
You can't be upset at the decision. You can be upset at the process and how he displayed or told us about his decision.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a little, like you mentioned, egotistical, and certainly having this hour-long special devoted just to his free agency is something that, you know, for me personally, I don't feel like LeBron came up with the idea for this TV show. I mean, that's what PR people are for. That's what agents are
for. Okay, but if that is the case, I don't take him off the hook because just if his team, as he likes to call it, set this up, it's still on him.
Well, they said to him, here's an idea we have. Do you want to do this? And he would have had to do it
this
or something like that. Yeah. But overall, the way that he told us about the decision was probably not the best way to do it. But there was no perfect way to do it. There's no perfect way to tell your girlfriend you want to go to the better-looking girl next door, right? And that's really what he did.
Cleveland overreacted. Dan Gilbert's an idiot.
Oh, my goodness.
Dan Gilbert is a lunatic. He is a crazy, crazy lunatic. And it makes you wonder if LeBron knew he was a crazy, crazy lunatic. This doesn't make Cleveland look any better.
No.
When Dan Gilbert comes out and says, as you know, our former hero who grew up in the very region that he deserted this evening is no longer a Cleveland Cavalier. This was announced with a several-day narcissistic self-promotional buildup culminating with a national TV special of his decision, unlike anything ever witnessed in the history of sports and probably the history of entertainment. Clearly, this is bitterly disappointing to all of us. The self-declared former king will be taking the curse with him down south. And until he does right by Cleveland and Ohio, James and the town where he plays will unfortunately own this dreaded spell and bad karma.
If he does right by, who does he have to do right by? Who does he owe anything to?
And then he guaranteed that the Cavs were going to win a championship before LeBron.
Yeah,
so
I guarantee
it's
you'll
ridiculous.
Be fired before LeBron wins five rings. That I can guarantee. But there's no way your team is going to win one before LeBron.
So. Yeah, so this guy is crazy. This is really disappointing for Cleveland to lose LeBron. I think if I'm a Cleveland fan, the only justification for hating LeBron so much right now is that the team is so screwed going forward because they built the team around LeBron.
Yeah.
They made a lot of trades. They have right now $8 to $9 million in cap space to spend, but everybody's gone. All the big guys are gone. If they get rid of Delonte West, it'll be closer to $12 or $13 million. Yeah. But again, who are they going to spend that money on? They waited and waited for LeBron James, and meanwhile, Stoudemire, Bosh, Wade, Boozer, they're gone.
Well, not only
Johnson.
Look at how the players reacted to the Gilbert statement. You had a few professional players, in particular Kevin Durant, who, even though he locked in with Oklahoma City, let's imagine him being one of these young guys who would be a free agent one day. When you see an owner of a team send out a letter like that, what is that going to make you do when you are looking around at the teams in free agency? That's going to make you skip right over Cleveland and say, you know what, forget this guy. I know how he treats the people who don't exactly do what he wants them to do.
LeBron had a decision to make. It's his life. It's his decision. I applaud him for going to the Heat. I thought it would have been a better decision if he had gone to the Knicks or the Bulls for the NBA. You have, because the Heat would have been great with Bosh and Wade, and then you would have made another team, either the Bulls or the Knicks, in two major markets, two major franchises with great history. The Bulls better than the Heat. I mean, the Bulls better than the Knicks. Would have had a superstar there as well. I would have been excited about that. I think what confuses me is this guy is always talking about rivalries of the past, of the 80s, the Bird Magic rivalries, and how he wanted to revive that. Mm-hmm. He had this golden opportunity to go to New York or go to Chicago and create great rivalries.
There are still great rivalries. There's still Kobe. There's still Dwight
Knicks
Howard. Knicks
Heat
Chris
would
Ball.
Have been a great rivalry to bring back.
Yeah,
it would
sure.
have been great.
That's fine. But now we're going to have the Heat and the Magic. So this is a South Florida rivalry. So, you know, for us in South Florida, I think there's probably not anyone outside of, you know, Knicks fans or people that came down here as fans of other people that aren't at least excited at the fact that this is going to be fun to watch. This
it's
is good for the NBA
fun.
Because people are going to tune in more often to these games, and especially non-NBA fans will now be brought to the television screen to watch the spectacle of three great players on the same team.
Yeah, it's going to be fun and it's going to be interesting. So let's talk about the Heat now and what the rest of their roster will look like. And this, I think, is also something kind of cool to note. So they right now have the number 1, 4, and 5 picks from the 2003 NBA draft. They, at one point, earlier in the decade, had the number 1, 2, and 3 picks from the 1992 draft. That was Shaquille O'Neal, Alonzo Mourning, and Christian Laettner.
Christian Laettner, that's right.
So this is a little bit better, considering all those guys are way past their prime.
Yes. Yes.
But just interesting, the kind of talent that Pat Riley's been able to assemble. So the rest of the Heat roster, they need 13 players minimum. They are not going to be able to offer a lot of money to any of them. You're talking about a lot of veteran minimum contracts, a lot of rookie contracts. Mario Chalmers is still there. Mike Miller's supposed to join the team. Joel Anthony's been extended a qualifying offer. Dexter Pittman, Jarvis Varnado, Deshaun Butler. These are their second-round picks. They didn't have a first-round pick. They traded it to Oklahoma City. These are projects. Pittman's kind of big. He needs to lose some weight. Varnado's really one-dimensional. He's a great shot blocker. Deshaun Butler's coming off a knee injury. So you're not going to get immediate contribution. The Miami Herald I was reading, they speculated on some other names. Carlos Arroyo, Darrell Wright, Jamal McGlure. These are all former Heat players that could come back for very little money. For me, I look at that, I'm thinking, I don't know if they're going to win a championship this year. I think they need the mid-level exception or a trade some other way to get more talent surrounding these three. Yeah. I think in 2 years they'll have won a championship. I don't think it's going
to
be this year.
Yeah, it's hard for me to envision them surrounding them with enough to get by a team like Orlando in the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe they do get to the finals with this team. The Lakers are just
I still
too
think
good
the
right
Lakers
now.
Are better.
They just
yeah.
are too deep. And, of course, they still have Phil Jackson coaching. And Phil Jackson versus Eric Spoelstra, there's a bit of an advantage there for the Lakers. So, you know, when you look at the roster holes for them right now, clearly it's a big man that can rebound. Like you said, Varnado, great shot blocker, not much of a rebounder, certainly not much size to him. Very long, athletic, but he's not going to box you out. He's not going to eat up rebounds. If you look at what's out there, one name that was mentioned last night in all the talks about the Heat, and one that when I first looked through the list of all the unrestricted free agents, is Brad Miller. He's someone who is a veteran, probably willing at this point in his career to give up a little bit of money to play on a winning team. He also moves the ball very well.
A little bit of money, but we're talking about a guy signing for $1.1 million.
Yep.
He's not going to give up that much money. I don't think so.
Pat Riley can convince you of anything.
Pat Riley can convince me.
Very convincing. So all you would really need to convince them is, yes, you're going to lose out on some money, but you're going to be living in South Beach and celebrating every single night with these guys. And it's going to be a fun atmosphere. And, again, a veteran who's made his money throughout his career, probably was smart with it and saved it, hopefully would be willing at that point to sign with the team just for the winning. And if you look around at the other guys, I mean, there's some names I highlighted. There's Kyle Korver, Roger Mason Jr. when it comes to adding three-point shooting to the team. If you look at point guard position, there's Luke Ridenour out there. Again, he's in demand, though. That's the thing. There's
not a lot of –
you look at point guard, I highlighted Luke Ridenour, Raymond Felton, and Nate Robinson. Are any of those really attainable for the cost of, again, that we say they can afford? Most likely not. I mean, you look at someone like Raymond Felton, who really is an impact point guard. Definitely not an option for them. So if you look at other guys, you know, down the line, I've highlighted Matt Barnes, Anthony Morrow, Matt Bonner, another big who can shoot. So there's going to be things that they can do. Just be smart about it. Get guys who fit the roles. And you know what? There's still the D-League out there where, you know, there's some really good talent that, especially when you pair them next to superstar talent, they look even better than they truly are.
So who takes the last shot?
It doesn't matter. Whoever's not double-covered.
I agree. I mean, it's not going to be Chris Bosh.
Yeah. No.
You know, I mean, he might get the last shot, but they're not going to run plays. Well, I mean, you got to figure the ball's going to be in Wade or LeBron's hand.
And they're going to try to dribble penetrate. Wherever the double team comes from is where the ball's going to rotate to.
My concern, though, is this. Dwayne Wade is used to being the guy who draws the double team and kicks it out. Same with LeBron James. So Chris Bosh doesn't want to play center. So let's say your lineup out there is a center, those three guys, and a point guard. You better have a point guard who can shoot threes pretty well. Because who's going to shoot the threes? This is why I never thought LeBron and Wade should team up, because neither of them is a great outside shooter. Are they good enough?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but are they good enough to be like spot-up shooters that have to knock down open threes? I'm not sure about that.
They shouldn't be at the point in a game where they need to hit a spot-up three.
It's going
to
happen.
Of course it will, especially in the playoffs. And what you're going
to
see.
Look, it's not going to bother them the regular season. I'm just saying, when it comes down to it, they play a team like Boston, who's still going to be a great defensive team. Yeah. That's a concern to me. But the Lakers didn't have a great three-point shooter, really. I mean, our test. Fisher was okay. Yeah. He had his moments.
Good enough. I mean, we talked about that was their weakness all year, was three-point shooting. It was good enough.
Are the Heat going to be able to do that? Are the Heat going to be able to have a good enough outside shooter, just a pure outside shooter who's going to be able to knock down open
threes? If they pick up Mike Miller like you're talking about, then certainly.
But where does he play? Do you put LeBron at the one?
You might have a lineup without a center.
You could, yeah.
Where you would have Bosh at center. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that it's a slam dunk. The risk is that one of the three gets seriously injured, and then they're screwed because they don't have a lot of roster flexibility. But it's a slam dunk. Good for them. Pat Riley, you're absolutely amazing. Yeah. Hall of Fame executive without a question.
That's true.
So, as we mentioned, let's look at the other teams. Cleveland, real quick, somewhere between $8 and $9 million under the cap right now, and clear another $4 million if they can trade Delonte West. The only thing with Cleveland – do you think they have a shot at making a trade for Chris Paul because Paul is such a big Byron Scott fan?
It's completely up to the Hornets on whether or not they want to get rid of him and want to give up on what they felt was the guy that's going to be the future of that franchise and
they've
the face of that
no
franchise.
For now.
They've said no for now. If they start the season off slowly, if they get to the point where fans aren't showing up and they realize, okay, Chris Paul is no longer someone that puts butts in the seats, okay, we can move him. We have Darren Collison, who's a very, very good backup and who could easily start. And we saw him last year when Chris Paul was hurt start and be very effective. So they have an option if they can put together, if the Cavs can put together something attractive enough for that, like I said, wait till New Orleans falls out of the playoff picture. Then they might be able to make a push for him. But then who are you joining forces with? Anton Jameson? I mean, really, what's going to help there other than having a great point guard?
The Chicago Bulls, they signed Carlos Boozer. To me, this is a great deal. 5 years, $76 million. When you compare that to 5 years, $100 million for Amari Stoudemire, that seems like a total win. And they still have $18 million or so left to spend. They have a lot of money left. But again, there's not too many guys that are worth spending a lot of money on. Kyle Korver has been rooting for them.
To be honest, I was very surprised to see Rudy Gay sign his deal so quickly, because I knew that there would be one or two teams that missed out on the big three that would have a lot of money and just throw it at someone. And I think Rudy Gay, had he waited, may have been able to get some sort of a deal from Chicago.
But he got 5 years, $82 million.
No, it's not. I mean,
was he going to get that from Chicago?
I don't see why not. I mean, really, like if you look at what they need right now, Rudy Gay kind of fits that role.
I think they need a shooter.
Shooter would definitely
They could go out and get Kyle Korver. That would work. Yeah. But I do like the Boozer deal. And I like the Bulls this year. I think that there's an obvious top three right now in the East. In my opinion, it's Boston, Orlando, and Miami in no particular order. If I had to give an order, I'd say Miami, Orlando, Boston.
Yep.
But I think the Bulls are right there at four. And one of our resident Bucks fans that I was talking to today at CBSSports.com thinks they're right in the running. We'll get to them as well.
Well, you got a healthy Andrew Bogut, you're going to compete in this league, because you talk about the one position where there's a lack of great players, and it's a center position.
Well, they've been arguably the most active team this offseason. Yeah. Atlanta, though, start with them. They sign Joe Johnson, 6 year. This could be the worst one. They sign a 29-year-old guy to a $124 million contract over 6 years. This could be the worst contract of the offseason, and other than Darko.
I don't understand. What, did they not watch the playoffs? Did they not watch their own team in the playoffs last year? I don't get it.
Horrible. The New Jersey Nets, they are huge losers, in my opinion. They missed out on all of the elite free agents. They didn't even get David Lee. They signed Travis Outlaw to a 5-year, $35 million contract. He's never averaged more than 13.3 points per game. I think right now, if I'm the Nets, just be patient. Yeah. Use the money next year, or use it, you know, on some, try to trade somebody for somebody midseason. But there's no need right now to get crazy, spend the rest of your money, because they have a lot left. Just relax and try to wait for next year or something like that. But for a team that was so gutsy as to put a huge billboard up saying the blueprint of success right next to the Knicks offices, and to have this owner who's talking all this big game and have Jay-Z and all that, I think this is a very disappointing and quite frankly, humbling offseason for New Jersey.
I mean, this last year for them has just been terrible. I mean, you had to watch the team play as poorly as they did, and then watch the draft go by, the draft lottery go by, and see that you're not going to get John Wall. Then you miss out on every single free agent. And, there's no doubt that the excitement that started when Prokhorov kind of signed on to be the owner dissipated already, to the point where he now has to do something to be relevant in the NBA. He's still relevant as a business person, but when it comes to the NBA, if your team isn't relevant, you aren't relevant.
Minnesota, they signed Darko Milicic to a 4-year, $20 million contract. What?
This guy's just amazing how he can convince people to give him millions of dollars.
Well, this is becoming one of the worst-run franchises in the NBA, although I do love their trade for Beasley for a second-round pick and the right to swap first-round picks, which helps Miami, not Minnesota. But to get the number two pick in the draft a couple years ago for a second-round pick, that's pretty good. They also signed their second-round pick from 2008, Nikola Pekovic, a 6'11 Serbian center. They signed him 4 years, $13 million. I can't really weigh in too much on that, only to say that the analysts that I read seem to think it was a pretty good deal.
So now their main goal now is moving Al Jefferson and getting something in return, but it's going to be tough after the year Al Jefferson just had. He didn't really prove himself to be a 2010 guy anymore. Didn't even prove himself to be an effective rebounder last year. So it's going to be tough for them to get anything of value given what they gave up for him, which was Kevin Garnett.
If they want to move him, they need to include Flynn or Rubio.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to include Rubio. Yeah. But they can move Al Jefferson if they give away one of those guys. Okay, the New York Knicks, interesting team. I did not like the first thing they did. I loved the second thing they did. They signed Amari Stoudemire to a 5-year deal, just under $100 million. Didn't like that at all. I did like it if they had gotten LeBron. If it was just bait to get LeBron, I thought it would have been great. But they didn't get LeBron, so I hate it. I do love the David Lee trade, though. I like it for both sides. Golden State takes David Lee in a sign-and-trade. What was that? Like a 6-year, $80 million deal. Yeah, 6 years, $80 million for David Lee. Anthony Randolph, Kalena Azubuike, and Roni Turiaf come over to the Knicks. What do you think about this?
Well, the Golden State Warriors really had to do something. They had such a logjam of guys who all did the same thing. And I think finally now they're realizing that, okay, we can kind of split this up. The thing is, they had so much talent, they were just always injured last year. So, you know, move some of these pieces, bring in guys who are worth a little bit more money. Because if you looked at their roster last year, it was Monte Ellis and really Corey Maggette and a bunch of guys who were just kind of brought in to play hoops and just go out and just run. Yeah. And that's what their team was. Now they're getting to the point of getting guys who are effective at what role they play. And David Lee is as good as anyone when it comes to playing your role, which is rebounding, putting it up off the offensive glass, and then also, of course, playing good defense. He's not the best shot blocker.
I don't think he's a good defender. I think he's a pretty
athletically, though, unfortunately, he's not going to keep up, but he does try. I mean, the effort's there every single night from David Lee, and those are the types of guys they need to bring into Golden State.
He's also going to be pretty effective, I think, in the pick and roll with Stephen Curry or Monte Ellis. So I like that deal for them, and also the Knicks. They trade for Jerome Jordan, 7'1" center that Milwaukee took in the second round this year. They just give the Bucks cash for this. So they got a little bit bigger. And I think getting Anthony Randolph and getting Roni Turiaf and maybe even Jerome Jordan, what it does to me, it makes them more athletic, first of all. Yeah. Because now with Azubuike, Turiaf, and Randolph, great fits for Mike D'Antoni. They were great fits for Golden State, too, but even better for Mike D'Antoni. Defensively, though, Randolph can really block shots, and that is going to help Amari Stoudemire, who's not a good defensive player. I think getting Turiaf and Randolph in your front court, it sort of makes the glaring weaknesses of Amari Stoudemire a little bit more palatable.
That's the thing you have to do with Amari. You have to pair him with a shot-blocking, tough center. Especially, right. I mean, obviously in the East, too. You don't need a hugely tall center. So, you know, Randolph's a guy who's long. Turiaf's a guy who's tough. But they both provide rebounding and shot blocking. Like you said, you put that next to a guy like Amari whose strengths are running the pick and roll and being an offensive threat. Rebounding defense, that's not his specialty and not what he likes to do.
And the Knicks still have more money to spend. My only beef with the Knicks right now is the three guys they got from the Warriors, Amari Stoudemire, Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, they're all injury prone.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Azubuike and Randolph every other week were in the lineup, out of the lineup.
Yeah. We talked about Golden State. I love how they traded Corey Maggette and the $31 million that they owed him. I think that's just a great move. The guy is worthless. He's not a winner.
And he's a stat machine,
free throw machine.
That's it.
I don't like Milwaukee's offseason, and we'll get to them momentarily. Let's talk about the Boston Celtics. To me, the Boston Celtics window is closing. So the moves they made, 2 years, $21 million for Ray Allen. 2 years, around $11.5 million for Jermaine O'Neal. 4 years, $61 million for Paul Pierce. All of them are probably a little bit overpaid, especially Pierce. But I think that gives them another year or two to contend for a championship.
I would agree. I mean, you know, anytime you bring in Jermaine O'Neal, who can now back up Kendrick Perkins, and if you looked at the finals where Perkins was out, had they really had a 7-foot guy who can defend and block some shots, they probably would have won
game seven. That's what we said. I think they would have won game six or seven. He missed almost the entire game six and all game seven. They got killed on the boards.
Yeah, so
but we've been really disappointed with Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But when you don't start him and don't expect him to play 30 strong minutes, you only expect him to give you 15 hard run minutes, you might actually get that out of him.
All right, Dallas re-signed Dirk Nowitzki, 4 years, $80 million. I think that's good. What do you think? He could have made 16 more million.
Exactly.
You like that?
Yeah, I mean, why not? I thought that they could have moved on from the whole Dirk experience, but what else were they going to get?
Right.
Knowing, you know, they probably had an idea that LeBron and those guys weren't going to be anywhere on their radar. So let's lock in Dirk for now, see what we can do. And I like the 4 years on the deal. I mean, if you go any longer than that, obviously you're going to be reaching. And if you looked at the last couple years that Dirk's provided them, he's been great. You know, now let's work on getting those guys around him. So, like you said, he took a little less money to help bring in those guys. And if you looked at the trade they made last year, now they also, of course, re-signed Brendan Haywood.
Yeah.
They're at least stronger in the front court. Let's see if Jason Kidd plays the same he did, and maybe they have another shot at making a run.
6 years, $55 million for Brendan Haywood. I think that's a terrible mistake.
It was a reach, and it was something that I honestly felt like, let's make sure that the Heat can't get him. Let's throw the money at him now and bring him in before there's any big announcement and people just want to flock to Miami.
The Phoenix Suns, Channing Frye, 5 years, $30 million. Hakeem Warrick, 4 years, $18 million. So you didn't get a lot of production from Hakeem Warrick last year, and you haven't gotten too much so far. But I feel like he could be better with Phoenix, just like Channing Frye was so much better with Phoenix. I'm not wild about either of these two, but I don't hate these moves. And the fact is, the most important thing they did was not take back Amari Stoudemire.
Yep.
I think they were smart. In fact, Steve Kerr was pretty open about it. He's not running the team anymore, but he was pretty candid about why Amari Stoudemire wasn't a good signing for 5 years, because he said the guy's got knee injuries. We're worried about him in years four and five.
Yep.
So I think Phoenix was smart there, and I still think they're going to be pretty good.
No, anytime you've got Steve Nash still running the show,
yeah,
they're going to be an impact team. But they do need to now pair him with someone to run the pick and roll with.
Yeah,
and not just the pick and pop with what he does with Channing Frye.
All right, Milwaukee. Milwaukee's made a lot of moves. They re-signed John Salmons for 5 years and $40 million. He's 30 years old. That's quite a gamble. $8 million a year.
But he's not really an athletic player, so I could see his game remaining the same. You know what I mean?
He's deceivingly athletic, I think.
Yeah, but he's not someone who's going to blow by you. He uses his skill as a shooter and his ball handling to get open looks. I don't dislike it. What else were they going to do?
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I agree. You guys get overpaid a lot. That happens. Yeah. So I just feel like there's some contracts you look at and you're like, they're going
to
trade this.
There's
guy
a minimum amount every NBA team has to spend, right? There's a minimum amount you have to spend. They couldn't fill in their roster with other talented players because if you look at what's out there, there's really not much that you would call talent.
Okay, so that was one deal they made. Drew Gooden, 5 years, $32 million. Believe it or not, he's only 28 years old. He's been on like almost every team in the NBA, but he's only 28.
And he's had every variation of beard.
He's had every variation. We'll see what he breaks out now. But they also got Chris Douglas Roberts and Corey Maggette. So they got a lot of small forwards on their team. I don't really love their roster. I'm not a huge Brandon Jennings fan because I think he's overrated based on the first month of his career. I am a big Andrew Bogut fan. I just don't see how when you're talking
aren't they
about,
better than last year though? When you look at that roster, isn't that
well,
team better than
Michael
the team?
Well, if Michael Redd can come back,
right? And you look at how well they played at the end of last year before Bogut got hurt, and then in the playoffs they almost really pulled an upset, all even right, without their starting what should have been an all-star center.
Are they better? Yes, they're better. But when you look at the Magic, who have Dwight Howard, and the Heat, who have three superstars now. They don't have a chance of competing.
No, they're not competing for a championship, but they're at least competing. They got to be happy with that.
Right, but wouldn't it have been better to not spend this money on Salmons and Gooden, not take on the Corey Maggette contract, wait for Michael Redd to come off the books, which is a lot of cap relief, and then become mega free agent
players?
Do
you really think they could ever be a player in the free agent market? Do you ever think that someone would be like, oh, man, Milwaukee's got that max deal they're offering me? They literally will never get a guy in unless they somehow can already have someone in place through the draft.
But all the teams were gearing up for this year, and now they're not necessarily going to be players anymore. Milwaukee could be not by itself, but in a very exclusive company if they have cap space in the next couple of years.
Yeah. It's just a tough market to try and draw someone to.
Yeah, I agree. But to me, they overspent big time on guys who didn't quite deserve this much money. So I think in the long run they're going to regret it. But they could be pretty darn good this year. Toronto, Amir Johnson for 5 years, $34 million. This could be another one that's the worst. I mean, this is a contract that I just feel like they're going to want to trade at some point. You just know when some of these guys get signed to these deals on these mediocre teams, and you can look at the Bucks deals and you can look at the Raptors deals, it's like, okay, in a few years, we're going to try to trade these guys to contenders just to get them off the books.
If the amount of money, the amount of millions that you will make per year is higher than the amount of points per game you had, let's just call that a bad contract. That's all I'm going to say.
It's a terrible contract.
Yeah.
The guy's always in foul trouble. I know they like his talent, but 5 years, 34 million.
6.2 points per game, nearly 7 million per year for 6.2 points. That's, you know.
They will get a big trade exception and some draft picks, though, from the Miami Heat for Chris Bosh. And we talked about Rudy Gay, 5 years, $82 million from Memphis. This was the first one to fall.
Yep.
And probably too much for Rudy Gay, but I don't think it's absurd. For example, 5 years, $76 million for Carlos Boozer, 5 years, $82 million for Rudy Gay. And I think they're pretty comparable. In fact, I think I like Gay a little bit more.
Rudy Gay's 23.
Exactly.
You know, 23 years old, so you still have improvement in his game.
I don't
remember
why I ranked
higher.
You're
going to see him get better. So, you know, there's nothing wrong. Well, I think when we were looking at ranking them, too, we were talking about the short term. You know, for the long term, in a 5 year.
No, I wasn't. I was thinking in terms of who would I rather sign to a 5 year contract.
For 5 years, so I would think. I mean, you look at a 23-year-old Rudy Gay who has improved in almost every aspect of his game each season, each in the last few seasons. There's no reason to think that he's already hit his ceiling. So I would expect that neither team is going to be upset with the deal that they made. Let's just see who improves. And obviously Carlos Boozer fitting in with that team is going to be huge.
Let me give you some teams here. You tell me who of these teams are going to be better than the Miami Heat next year? In the Eastern Conference, Orlando.
Could be. I do believe still they have to do something with Vince. If Vince Carter is your two guard and Jameer Nelson's your point guard, that they're not good enough. So I would say if those two guys are still on the team, I'd put the Heat above them.
Boston.
Heat.
Nobody else from the East.
I mean, that's it. Like right now, I would think that the Heat should be, and probably they are in Vegas, the favorites to win the East, but not to win it all.
All right, Lakers.
Definitely the Lakers.
Definitely the Lakers?
Definitely the Lakers. Because when you look at it, all right, I always say take the top five players, right, out of what you have there. It's probably I would put Pau Gasol above Chris Bosh. There's no doubt in my mind that Pau Gasol is the second best big man in this league.
The second best big man in this league? Like him better than Duncan?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Now,
Duncan's still pretty good.
The last two seasons I would have taken Pau Gasol, let alone next season.
I don't disagree with you. Just throwing the yeah. Phoenix, any chance they could be better than Miami?
No.
Dallas?
No.
Who else?
Nobody. I mean, literally, it is going to be.
So who's
going to
challenge the Lakers in the West?
There's no one that challenged them this
year. I think Dallas could be. I don't think they will be, but I think they have a shot. Because they, you know, if maybe.
But you would have to again.
Maybe the chemistry's a little bit better with Butler and with Brendan Haywood. Dirk's still good. Kid's still got a year or two left.
Does Kid have another very productive season?
I don't see why not.
Yeah. All right.
Even if it goes down a little bit, he's not gonna collapse. And they have Rodrigue Boba, so he'll get better. I think there are Oklahoma City.
Ooh, that's
Oklahoma
the fun
City.
One.
I think there are teams that are going to be better than they were last year, that have the chemistry, that have the pieces in place, that are more complete than the Miami Heat. And I think Oklahoma City is one of those teams. And they have some cap space too. Maybe they can go out and improve their team.
And you know that they're going to be susceptible against teams with a great point guard. So, you know, no matter who the Heat put at the point guard position.
Who's going
to
be susceptible?
The Heat.
The Heat. Okay.
So you're
going to
see
the Thunder
go in there and Russell Westbrook be the go-to guy that game, as he kind of was for some of the wins they had against the Lakers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You're
going to
see a team like Utah come into Miami and Deron Williams is going to go crazy. So there are definitely teams that can take advantage of the Heat's roster. But I look at the regular season for the Heat, and what I would really implore them to do is do not wear the big three down on minutes. Spread their minutes out. Do not always have all three on the court at the same time. Just make sure one of them is on the court at least throughout every point of the game. So what I would do is I would take whoever the best backup is. If the best backup is a backup for Chris Bosh, after about 4 minutes in the first quarter, I take Bosh out. And then I rotate Bosh in whenever I take out either LeBron or Wade, so that no matter what, in the first three quarters, there's one of those guys in there. Then when you get to crunch time, they're not totally worn down, and all three of them can play in that time. So be smart during the regular season. Limit their minutes. Realize that home court advantage means absolutely nothing in the playoffs. The Boston Celtics will tell you that. Just get to the playoffs healthy and have all three of those guys ready to roll. That's the main goal for the regular season, not to be the first seed or anything like that.
Who would you – no, I disagree. Your goal should still be the number one seed. I do agree that you shouldn't try to get the number one seed at the expense of health, but, that you know
– Boston got
I don't
to
think
the
you
finals
rest,
this year.
I don't think you rest your players when you have the opportunity to grab the number one seed.
Boston
yeah,
did
great.
That
they got
this
to the finals, and where was Game 7?
They got to the NBA Finals.
And where was Game 7 of the finals?
They wouldn't even have been in the finals had they extended their minutes throughout the regular season.
Okay, but they're older than
the
Heat.
Limit.
They're older
You're
than
right.
the Heat. If it has to come to that, yeah, it's more important to be rested and healthy for the playoffs. But I don't think we're going to see that. I don't think that these guys are going to be breaking down.
They shouldn't, but they're also playing. They're playing summer leagues. They're playing Olympic ball. Just know how important it is.
Don't baby these guys.
Know how important it is
don't
for them to be 100%. Because Chris Bosh is injury prone. He's often been injured in his career.
Chris Bosh, by the way, is the luckiest person in this whole
No, Eric
scenario.
Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra
you
is the luckiest
You hate Eric Spoelstra.
Person.
What did he do wrong last year? Tell me, what did he do wrong?
It's nothing that he did wrong.
His team was garbage last year. He had one good player on the team.
Yeah.
And
right.
he got them to the playoffs.
Right, but do you remember the game? And again, I can go to specific examples.
Yes, I remember the game against the Boston Celtics where Rondé.
So you do know that there were.
I remember that he didn't foul.
Multiple examples during the regular season where
let
you
him
said.
Let him work and let him learn.
That's fine.
Coaches make mistakes too.
Absolutely. And look, Doc Rivers to me is the biggest example of that. I used to despise him as a coach when he coached the Orlando Magic when they were struggling, losing 19 games in a row. It didn't look like he had a game plan. Didn't look like he knew how to draw up an inbounds play. Now look at where he is. So I agree that coaches will improve. I just don't know that I would allow Eric Spoelstra to take the keys to a Ferrari.
Well, if he struggles out of the gate, he won't have them for much longer. Who would be your number one pick in the fantasy basketball draft? And that really is a question about LeBron James' statistics.
Yeah. To me, I'm going Kevin Durant.
Me too. Because I think LeBron, that's the hardest thing to figure out. What kind of stats are they going to put up?
His scoring will absolutely go down. We know that. He's not going to average anywhere near 29 or 30 points a game. It's going to be closer to 25 or 20. Now, assists have to go up. Rebounds, you would think, will go up.
This isn't fair. I can't believe they got all three. It's just, that's not fair.
It's a video game, basically, because this is what we do.
How the heck are you going to defend them? I think Bosch is the...
Well, you know what they're going to do? A lot of zone. This is what Jeff Van Gundy mentioned last night. A lot of zone defense is what they're going to face, because teams are going to say to LeBron and Wade, hey, we're going to clog the paint. You go ahead and knock down jumpers. If you do that, fine. But we're going to make you work, and we're not going to allow you to put on a highlight reel every night of dunks.
Right. This is what I was saying about Bosch being lucky. He's so second-rate compared to Wade and LeBron. But if they go down as champions...
Man, I don't know.
Wade and LeBron are better than he is.
They are what they are because of the height that they have, right? They fit the mold of superstar athletes who are the perfect size to be everything. Chris Bosh is too tall to go and put on a highlight reel.
He's just not a wing.
Exactly. So to say that he's not as good as them...
He's not.
At what he does, right? There are five positions on the court.
But what he does
isn't
as good as what they
rate him. All right, so they're a 10 and he's a 9. It's not like he's the luckiest guy in the world.
No, if they're 10s, he's like a 7.5. He is not even close, and he's not bad. But I think that there's such...
He's not bad. That's what you can say.
There's such a drop-off from the best players from... Okay, maybe there's a top 5 now. I'll go top 7, and you tell me if I'm forgetting anyone. And this is in no particular order: LeBron, Wade, Kobe,
Durant,
Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Deron Williams. That is my top 7. Those are the absolute elite players in the NBA. There's a big drop off from those guys to Chris Bosh, from those guys to Pau Gasol. From those guys to Derrick Rose, even though I think he can get into that category.
Yeah.
From those guys to, I don't even know, Steve Nash still is up there.
You're going to leave my boy Rajon Rondo out of the equation again.
He's in the second tier too, but he doesn't have the upside that Derrick Rose has.
See, I think Bosch is a step ahead of Rondo right now at this point. I mean,
Bosch is better than Rondo, but Bosch is worse than those other 7 guys I mentioned. And Bosch, here's the big thing. Bosch is not good enough to be the best player on a championship team. Bottom line.
What big man is?
Dwight Howard.
Is he?
Yes.
Do we know that?
Yes.
Did he do that yet?
No.
In my
opinion, he is.
Okay, so you're talking about a guy who is a physical freak who we've never seen in the entire world. Someone that is at the size
It's not Chris Bosh's fault. He's not as physically gifted as LeBron,
Dwayne Wade. Need tall guys in basketball.
He's not
so
as,
because
of course
how tall
he's a necessary
he is,
player, and he's good. I'm not saying he's not great. He's very good. He's a great player, but he's not a superstar. He's an all-star. He's not a superstar. He's not the best player on a championship team. You don't build around Chris Bosh.
If you looked at just Dwight Howard's numbers and didn't look at him, who he is, and the whole show that he puts on, would you call him a superstar?
Yeah.
You would?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, man. He led the league in blocks and rebounds 2 years in a row. Are you kidding?
But if you look at what Bosh is doing every single year, 24 and 10. I mean,
you're
serious that that's not a superstar?
David Lee had 22 and 11.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not about the numbers.
It's different ways of doing
things. Yeah, and his way was for a team that was barely better than the Knicks. If he was that much better than David Lee, which I really don't think – I think he's better, but I don't think he's that much better. If he were that much better, then the Raptors would have been a lot better. But you don't build around Chris Bosh. I'm sorry. No team is ever going to win the championship with Chris Bosh as their best player. That is not an indictment on him. That is just saying that you have to be so good and so elite to be the best player on a championship team in most cases.
Yeah, depending on what else is around.
Yeah, the Pistons in the mid-2000s were the exception. But if you look at every other champion, okay, who are the best players? Shaq, Kobe, Wade, Duncan. And then
those are the teams that have won recently. That's basically it.
That's it. I was trying to see if I forgot anybody, but no, because it was the Spurs every damn year, every other year. Yeah. So that's my point. Chris Bosh is not on that level, and when the Heat win their championships, which I have a feeling they will, He's going to go down as part of the big three that gave them the championships, but he is second rate, in my opinion, to Wade and James, just because it's not his fault, but
if you're putting Pau Gasol as a second-rate guy, too, then I won't disagree.
Can you win a championship with Pau Gasol as your best player?
Again, I don't know that you can with any big man being your best player unless, again...
Well, you could with Duncan, and I think you can with Howard. You could with Hakeem Olajuwon. You could with Shaquille O'Neal.
Again, Shaq, especially because his struggles with free throws, had he not had Kobe or D-Wade on those teams... I don't know that he would have led
the
team to a championship.
I'm not talking about the Heat team.
Okay, so the Lakers team.
The Lakers teams.
You know, especially the first one, he was so dominant that, yes. But those next two, Kobe had a huge role.
Kobe did, but Shaq was still the best player.
Yes. But who took the clutch time shots? Who had the ball in his hand at the end?
Yeah,
so
but that's part of it.
It is very hard for any team to have a big man be the guy. Now, Yao Ming shoots incredible free throws.
But Bosh isn't even close to what Shaq was. Yeah. Bosh isn't even close to what Duncan was. And again, this is not me ripping on Chris Bosh. This is just a reality check. He's not a superstar. He's an all-star. There's a big difference.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
You agree or not?
I'll agree that he's not a superstar, and it all depends on kind of your definition of a superstar. But if Wade and LeBron fit that definition, no, Bosh doesn't fit that. But he's such a fantastic player at what he does.
He's great.
That you can't discount.
He's great. He's lucky. He's like he's going to get ride the coattails. Can you stop coughing?
What is
with you?
This is, you know, when I talk this much and I have a cold, it's difficult to get by. But, you know, I'm trying. I cough out of the mic, you know.
Yeah, I know you try. I see the effort is there.
The effort's
there. I'll give you some mercy here and I'll end the podcast. Mm. We want to hear from you. Give us an email. Give us a shout via email. CBSIPodcastFeedback@CBS.com. That's CBSI, the letter I, podcastfeedback@CBS.com. I am Adam Azer with Greg Urbano, and this has been our fun-filled free agency update. Don't listen to Jared Dudley. That's all we've learned today.
Yes, don't take his Twitter account to be anything factual.
We'll see you later.